Our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke. We're in chapter 6 and we're reading verses 20 to 31, and you can find that on page 976. Jesus has just chosen his 12 apostles, following which they all go down to address a very large crowd of followers who are called his disciples. Hear the gospel of the Lord according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Blessings and woes. Then Jesus turned to his crowd of disciples and said, God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. What blessings await you when people hate you, exclude you, mock you, and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man. But when that happens, rejoice, leap for joy. Why? Well, because a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, their ancestor treated the ancient prophets in exactly the same way. On the other hand, what sorrow awaits you who are rich, for you have your only happiness now. What sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now, for a time of awful hunger awaits you. What sorrow also awaits you who laugh now, for your laughing will turn to mourning and sorrow. Sorrow also awaits you who are praised by the crowds, for their ancestors also praised false prophets. But to you who are willing to listen, I say this. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who hurt you. So, for example, if someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek as well. And if somebody demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. To sum up, do to others as you would like them to do to you. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, on this day when we remember all your saints, open our eyes to see what true blessing looks like. Open our hearts to receive your Spirit. Open our hands to live as your people in the world. As you once turned the world upside down on that hillside, turn our hearts right side up today. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. All Saints' Day turns the world upside down. It's not about perfect heroes in stained glass windows, but about ordinary people being made holy by an extraordinary God. And it shows us what heaven truly calls blessed. Think of the saints that you've known in your lives, the ones who have prayed quietly, loved deeply, and carried Christ whenever and wherever they went. I've met so many faithful people like that over the years in ministry. Housebound believers who have led a life of faith, now confined even to a single room. Their strength is gone, but their hope hasn't. They don't preach or travel or lead anymore, but heaven hears their prayers. I think of those two old ladies who brought about the Hebridean revival. What else could they do? They were going blind. And so they said, we pray, and revival came. People whose Bible are worn from years of use, but their hands are now frail, but they're folded in faith. The kind of quiet saints Jesus had in mind when he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, who hunger, who weep." Because true blessing isn't about what we have, but who we trust. And the saints knew the kingdom belongs to those who need God more than they need control. When Jesus looked up to speak, he's not surrounded by comfort and security. He's surrounded by ordinary disciples. People who've left nets and homes and steady incomes to follow him into uncertainty. That's the first thing to notice. These blessings are not random encouragements to everyone who happens to be suffering. They're spoken to his disciples, to those who belong to him in those conditions. The word Jesus used for blessed, makarios, doesn't mean lucky or happy in that shallow sense. It means flourishing, living in a deep joy that comes from being rightly related to God, even when life looks wrong from every angle. So when Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven," he's not romanticizing poverty, he's revealing dependence. Luke's word for poor means those who have nothing left to rely on but God himself. They can't buy their way out of trouble. They can't bluff their way through. Yet they are still called blessed because the treasure of the kingdom is already theirs. And notice that the tense says, yours is, not will be, but yours is. Jesus isn't talking about a far off reward for being miserable. He's talking about a present reality breaking into the present moment. That's what scholars call inaugurated eschatology. Bet you never thought you would hear that word on this All Saints Day. But that means that the kingdom has already begun in Jesus, but not yet completed until he returns. We are waiting in the in-between. And the poor in Christ already taste the riches of God's reign, even in their lack. Then Jesus goes on and says, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied." That hunger is both physical and spiritual. Jesus sees those who are hungry for justice, hungry for righteousness, hungry for a world to be made right. And he promises that one day, in the age to come, they will be filled. It's not an empty promise. It's the steady heartbeat of hope that runs throughout the entire gospel. "And blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." That laughter isn't cruel or careless. It's resurrection laughter. It's the laughter of tears being wiped away, the laughter of broken hearts mended by the hands of God. Jesus sees every tear that falls and turns it into seeds of joy. And then comes the most radical line of all. "Blessed are you when people hate you, exclude you, insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man." What kind of kingdom calls persecution blessing? Only one where following the king means walking his road, the road of rejection, the road of the cross. But here's the thing. Jesus doesn't say endure it, he says rejoice. Leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. This isn't the grin of denial. It's the joy of those who know that even hatred can't touch what they have in Christ. And then we come to the woes, full warnings that mirror the blessings. Woe to you who are rich, who are well fed, who laugh now, all when all speak well of you. Not because of success or comfort are evil, but because when we build our whole identity around them, they become our reward. But those things run out. Luke doesn't condemn wealth itself. Remember Zacchaeus, who used his riches for righteousness. But he warns us that the self-satisfied, the well-fed, the comfortably indifferent, those who have everything except dependence on God, are in danger of missing the very thing that they were made for. You see, the Beatitudes aren't just pretty sayings. They are a divine reversal of values, a kingdom charter that turns the world's logic inside out. In the Magnificat, Mary sang these things to God. She says, God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Now Jesus takes up that melody once again. Those who seem small are lifted up high. Those who seem secure are being shaken awake. And that's where the next verses flow naturally. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. These are not random moral commands. They are the lifestyle of the kingdom. It's how God's people live when their hearts have been turned right side up. Jesus isn't calling for passive surrender to evil. He's calling for active love, to respond to hate with blessing, to injury with prayer, to cruelty with kindness. It's not weakness, it's strength under grace. He's teaching us to mirror the mercy of God himself. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. That's what sainthood looks like. Not holiness in isolation, but mercy in motivation. A life that reflects the kindness of God, even to the ungrateful and the evil. This morning I woke to a voice message from a guy who sometimes comes to church, he travels all over the country, and he's angry. And he said, Dan, when is the church going to rise up against this evil? The murder of the man in Uxbridge, the attempted murder of the other man and the 14-year-old, and the train attack yesterday. He said, why isn't the church speaking out about this evil that's happening? And yet with these things reading in my mind, we pray for our enemies. We don't act as the world. We act differently. And that's the upside down thing. I know there's a lot of anger in the world. I know there's a lot of anger in Britain. And they keep saying on social media about civil war and all these things. Not that it would happen, but the sentiment is out there. And even when Christians ask, where's the church in all this? Well, we need to pray. If we really truly want to change the world, we need to change hearts, one heart at a time. Because we truly know, don't we? We truly do know when we hear things like this passage where the world is turned upside down, that the things that are happening in the world would not happen if people were Christian. I say this with Parliament. If everyone was Christian in Parliament, we wouldn't see the winter fuel allowance taken away. We just wouldn't. I say that to non-Christians and they say, yeah, Christians don't do that. They wouldn't introduce a law for assisted suicide for people. They wouldn't try to put abortion up until birth as they are doing at the moment if they were Christian. We know that in a Christian world it would be different. But the world isn't Christian. God, well, Jesus himself says that only a few will enter through the gate. It will be narrow. So the world is broken. But we must go out, not with anger in our hearts. And when things happen like they did on that train last night, the first thing we want to do is raise up an army. Is to pray for those who attack us, who mock us for being Christians, who want to kill us. And that is what is exactly happening in Nigeria, in South Sudan, in Syria, in all these places in the world, in China, in India, in countries so, what we feel so far away, but so close, because they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And they are laying down their lives because they know they have a greater hope. Don't be afraid of the ones who can kill the body, but be afraid who one who can kill the body and the soul. So we live in an upside down world, and this is what it is about All Saints Day. We live as Jesus told us. It's tough being a Christian, because when we want retaliation, Jesus calls us to turn the other cheek, to pray for those who hate us and will even try to kill us and to take everything from us. But Jesus tells us there's a golden rule. As you wish others would do to you, do so to them. It sounds simple, but it's revolutionary. Because when we actually live that way, when we give instead of grabbing, bless instead of biting back, forgive instead of keeping score, we show the world what God is like. So the Beatitudes and the commands that follow aren't separate pieces. They belong together. The first shows who the blessed are, the saints. The second shows how they live. Dependence leads to mercy. Humility leads to love. Need leads to generosity. And the saints across the centuries, from Peter to Mary, from Perpetua to Aidan, have lived this out. Not by strength, but by surrender. So how do we do this? Live open-handed. Stop clutching and start trusting. If yours is the kingdom, then you can hold things lightly and hold God tightly. Ask this week, what can I release for Jesus' sake? Money, time, pride, the need to win every argument. Trust the God who promises good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Stay hungry. Not for more of what the world feeds us, but for more of what God offers. Hunger keeps you praying, keeps you dependent, keeps you soft. Be the kind of person who still longs for righteousness when others settle for comfort. And love when it's hard. Not sentimentally, but supernaturally. Love your enemies. Pray for the people who have wounded you. Do good for those who will never thank you, because that's what our Father is like. And when we live like him, we start to look like his children. The world will never understand it, but it will notice it. Every act of grace, every undeserved kindness, every choice to forgive instead of retaliate, these are the fingerprints of the kingdom. That's what makes saints different. So here's the question for us today. Will we simply admire the saints, or will we join them? Maybe for you and for me as well, that means forgiving someone you carried bitterness against. Maybe it means letting go of control and trusting God for your future. Maybe it's simply choosing mercy when your instinct is judgment. Because sainthood isn't about perfection. It's about participation. It's joining God in his great reversal. I once said to God, use me. Early as a Christian, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that would cost. I didn't know one day I'd be stood on All Saints Day 2025, stood in this pulpit. But God knew. He knew my skills and my gifts and my talents. He knew where he could use me. When I prayed that simple but dangerous prayer, I say one of the most dangerous prayers you could ever pray, with an open and broken heart to say, God, use me. You're never too old and you're never too young. God knows who you are with your skills and your gifts and your talents that he's given you to change the world. And the world needs changing. The world needs hope at this time. We are in a dark place and we need to admit that. We don't battle people. We battle the devil and his cohort. We pray for our enemies. And we are in a battle. And God is calling us to step out and to do the little things that we can. We might think they are small, but heaven sees such love and grace being poured out in the kindest of actions, which might even be saying to someone, are you okay? Do you need to talk? Showing love when no one else does. And we must remember, and this is important, that we don't separate out those saints that we have in the windows and a Holy Spirit that filled them. The same Spirit that filled the apostles and the martyrs, the missionaries and the quiet prayers, lives in you and me as well. The God who called them calls you. The grace that kept them keeps you. So live open-handed. Stay hungry for God. Keep loving when it's hard. And when your race is done, may your life be one more verse in that great song of the saints. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.